Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast live on the Radulation Broadcasting Network. We are continuing Transformers Week, and it has been a heck of a week. They've covered the new Transformers the last night. You all covered the Transformers the movie from 1986 soundtrack on Metal Hammer of Doom, which that song comes from, by the one Stan Bush. And we're continuing on tomorrow night with Transformers Prime on TV Party Tonight. I tell you what, it's been a heck of a week because I'm a Transformers fan.
let me interrupt your intro. Did you mention the commentary of the movie?
That's what I was getting ready to say. Well, after this, we also did an alternate commentary of the 1986 animated Transformers the movie, which was all so much fun. It was such a blast. So, if you're looking for a different commentary, if you're one of those commentary nerds like I am, you want to listen to people talk over top of the movie. We riff on it. We talk about it. We have a blast. It was myself, Ronnie Adams, it was Jesse Starcher, and Mark Radulich, and the invisible one, Justin, which I have a story to tell about him. It was amazing. It's an amazing story. And it was so much fun, man. So tonight, we're just going to talk some Transformers on the Screen Boy podcast, and then maybe talk about we all know about the really cool Transformers that have shown up in Generation 1, in the cartoon, and then, the cool ones that showed up in the cartoon movie that they, because they needed new toys. Then we might talk about some Transformers that aren't so highly regarded. We might talk about some crappy Transformers. So, and we don't mean GoBots. because they are the dime store Transformers. I hate to say it like that because I actually love the GoBots. But I want to bring on Jesse Starcher. Jesse, my man, how are we doing tonight?
Good evening, Ronnie. I'm sorry I walked all over your intro there. You think I'd learn after how many years have we been doing this together? You think I'd learn just to shut up, let him get to it at some point, let him bring you on first. But no, can't do that.
That's all right, man. If there's anybody that can walk all over my intro, it would be you.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm ready to talk some Transformers, dude. This has been one heck of a week. You still got one more Transformers podcast to go. I've been on.
I do.
This will make my fourth. I think me and you will tie after all said and done. Me and you both have four podcasts in about Transformers here on the network, which is wow. I was telling Jordan,
I have three.
You only have three? Are you sure?
Yeah, I have Prime.
Nope.
I have Prime.
Nope.
I have the commentary.
No. Nope.
Tonight.
You're forgetting one very important show. And that is
okay.
Source Material with IDW's Revolution.
How can I forget Source Material? I completely forgot. Why didn't you say something in my intro there?
Source Material
covered IDW. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't want to like force my show upon this, the Screaming Boy show in any way, but I pick and choose my plugs.
we did IDW's Revolution, which took all the Hasbro properties.
Yeah.
And, it was Transformers. It was G.I. Joe, the Micronauts, and ROM, the Space Knight. What the crap?
Action Man.
And Mask.
Action Man
was so in action. He was so the opposite of Action Man in that. He showed up like and talked, and then that was it. So I don't want to talk about Action Man. But we had Mask, Mobile.
Mobile Armored Strike Command.
Yeah, Command with a K.
That's right.
Mask was awesome. I loved Mask. It was so cool.
Here's the thing. When I was a kid, I don't think I had any Mask toys whatsoever. But I remember my babysitter, her son had a few. I know he had the truck.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a semi truck?
Yes, there was.
Okay, I think he had the semi truck.
Semi truck. There was Matt Stryker's.
What was that thing
is.
Called? Spectrum.
Car. Yeah, it's a sports car where it had suicide doors.
Gullwing.
Like
they had the Gullwing doors.
Yeah, Gullwing doors. Sorry, suicide go straight up. And Gullwing go out like the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. And but it had laser guns on the door.
That's right.
Which, it was really cool. So back then when I was a kid, I had to pick and choose my toys carefully. So it was like one of those things where I would look at Mask. It was cool, and my mom was like, "Do you really need that?" And I'm like, "I'd really like to continue on my He-Man line." So no,
weren't their figures
not really.
Like really like a lot smaller? Their figures were a little bit smaller than probably
a good 2 inches. Maybe.
Yeah, I was gonna say they weren't 3 3/4 because I know G.I.
No,
Joes were a little bit taller.
They might have been a little smaller. But the masks that they had were removable, and they had about 4 points of articulation. The arms moved up and down, the legs moved up and down, so you get them in the vehicles. I had maybe one or two mask vehicles, maybe one, and then I had the kid with the white robot that could turn into like a little dune buggy, not dune buggy, be a little motorized trike. He could ride it around. All these shows. Yeah, most of these shows just had a kid. Like Transformers movie had Daniel, whom I hate. And you can hear that. You can hear that on the commentary. My utter contempt for Daniel. I have one of my best friends in the whole world. I've known him since probably first grade. Since I've been in the first grade, he's one of the coolest guys ever. He and his wife and they had a little girl. They named her Hero. Hero
that's
Dawn.
Cool.
Fantastic name, sweet little girl. Daniel's his name. So I don't have anything against the name Daniel or people named Daniel. It's just that kid in that movie. He's just awful. Useless.
Oh, poor Daniel.
So, no, poor Daniel. Poor Ronnie for having to put up with Daniel. So poor everyone for putting up with Daniel. But Transformers was Transformers a big part of your childhood, Jesse? I know we talked about this, but
yeah. Well, hey, it's a new show. Somebody may not have listened to this show or our whole network of shows that we've done this week, which is perfectly fine. I'll be glad to rehash what we did here. as when it comes to Transformers, that seemed like, if I remember right, those things were pretty expensive, weren't they? They weren't. You could buy a G.I. Joe for
$4
or something. You could not buy a Transformer for the price of a G.I. Joe. So
they were $10, $15.
Yeah, man. No, my mom's not dropping that money on me when I was a kid. And it was – obviously, if you were going to drop that much money, you couldn't just have one Transformer. You had to have at least
right.
two or three. It's just like G.I. Joe's. You couldn't just have one G.I. Joe. You had to have, you know, five or six or seven so they could all fight each other. And
right, right.
You know, if you can buy two G.I. Joes, two or three G.I. Joes for the price of a Transformer, there's no sense in even attempting to get one.
Right.
So were they a part of my childhood when it comes to toys? No. Did I want one really bad? Yes. I always wanted to get my hands on a Transformer. When I went over to my friend's house, I think me and you were – I had mentioned about – I asked you about Optimus Prime and putting BBs in the chest, pretending they're in the Matrix. You were telling me how that was used. So that clearly came up sometimes when I went over to my friend's house and we were playing Transformers.
Yeah.
He had a ton, dude. And I mean a ton of both G.I. Joes and Transformers. But –
you had those kids that were, you know, that had the good collection, had the aircraft carrier for G.I. Joe, you know, the USS Flag, which is still like a holy grail for a lot of people, for a lot of collectors. And so, you know, and then you had the guy that had all the Transformers or the guys, you know, along with that stuff. You know, I had my fair share. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I didn't. You know, I had Optimus Prime. I had Perceptor. I remember him. I had, you know, Ultra Magnus.
Wow.
So I had some good ones, you know. Yeah, these were like big gifts. You know, they would be like, all right, this is, you know, this is what you wanted. And I was like, yeah. So my sister may get like four or five Barbies, but I got one Ultra Magnus, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Ultra Magnus was cool because he came with, you know, the white Optimus Prime figure. You know,
and
that's
he
what
said,
you built the ultimate.
He said the word damn. Oh, he said the word damn a lot. Well,
he only
when you were playing
once.
With him anyway.
Well, he beeped it out. But it was, you know, Transformers, you know, were a big part of my childhood because I watched the daggone cartoon like it was going out of style.
Yeah,
and,
I was a big fan of the cartoon.
So,
I remember watching the cartoon quite a bit. You know, that it was usually on the afternoons, so it was after school when I was catching it. So that was like first grade. You know, I'd go over to the babysitter's house, and it was immediately. I think here in Marietta, it was on, I want to say it was on, it couldn't have been Fox, because I don't even think Fox was around at that time. I wish I could remember what channel it was on, but I know I would catch it and watch.
I remember it being on Fox.
Was it on Fox? Fox wasn't around,
I remember it being on Fox.
I swear Fox didn't come on to, like, didn't show up as a network until, like, the late 80s. And
maybe.
I remember Fox. I'm gonna look it up here, but anyway, yeah, I can remember catching the show as right after school. And if I remember correctly, it was back to back with G.I. Joe. Like they knew what they were doing.
On my sick days from school, I remember going to my grandmother and grandfather's house to stay because, you know, I was sick and they watched after me. And I remember my mom coming to pick me up, and it was always like it was right at 3:30, and Transformers had just maybe gone off or was coming on. I watched G.I. Joe. She's like, "All right, finish G.I. Joe." I'm like, "I finished G.I. Joe." She's like, "All right, let's go." And I'd be like, "No, that means you watch Transformers." And she's like, "No, we gotta go. It'll be on when you get home." And when you get home, it's like had 10 minutes left or maybe 5 minutes left, and half of that was commercials, and I was like, "No, I don't know what happened to Megatron. Did he get defeated or not?" You know, because I don't want to watch the end. You know, but without watching the rest of it, so it was you know, huge part of my childhood. I remember, you know, when you play, you always, you know, you play with your friends, not the toys, but you would, you know, you pretend to be the Transformers. I was always Optimus Prime, or tried to be Optimus Prime. Never really wanted to be Bumblebee. I liked Bumblebee, but I was like, you know, you had Ironhide, you had Prowl, you had Jazz. I remember I had my adenoids out when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty big surgery for a kid. And my mom and dad were like, you know, you're doing great. You're being really brave. Because I was like, I'm good with it. You know, I trust you all. I trust my doctor, whatever. And I was a little nervous. And they were like, all right, so let's go to Kmart or whatever, so you could pick out a toy. And I was like, you have this much money. I remember going to wherever we went. I can't remember. I think it was probably Kmart. And I remember seeing Autobot Hound, the Army Jeep Transformers.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my dad's like, you want that? He's like, that's within your budget. And I was like, yes.
Let's do it.
I turned the corner, and there were Karate Kid action figures that I've never seen before.
I was like,
I could be Daniel-san, and I could kick the crap out of Johnny. He's like, all right, so you can get two of these or one Transformer. And being a kid, you're like, I want two toys.
Mm-hmm.
So
two's better than one.
Hound.
Wow.
And got two Karate Kid action figures.
Ouch.
I went under surgery, and I got back out, and I could play with them or whatever. And then to this day, I'm like, why didn't I pick Hound? Why didn't I pick Hound?
Man. By the way, original release of the cartoon, September 17th, 1984 to November 11th, 1987. Yeah. Started in 84,
right.
Went to 87. Fox News Network, or Fox News. That's not on the agenda. Fox Broadcasting Company.
Thank God.
Fox Broadcasting Company started in 86. So, yeah, it probably was on Fox when we were watching.
Okay.
I would believe
so.
What was I going to say? You were talking about getting in there. Oh, did you own any Decepticons?
Yeah, I can't remember who I owned, but yeah, I did.
Okay. I mean, they got to have a bad guy to fight.
Yeah, they gotta
have a bad guy. Yeah, you gotta have a bad guy to fight. But man,
you can't do anything. But you know, you can't roll around just driving around all day. That's boring.
Nice.
So I can't remember who I had. I never had Megatron. I don't think my mom was comfortable with buying a pistol for me as a kid. So I never had Megatron. Which, you know, whatever, mom. But I know people who have, and I'm kind of glad I didn't own Megatron as a kid because I remember Mark saying something about this. He was kind of a crappy toy.
Yeah.
He would get all loose and crazy and hibbly jibbly and not really match up with anymore. And, so it was, you know, it was like one of those toys where, you know, I'm kind of glad I didn't own it. But
I know I've told you this story before, but I'll rehearse it. I'm going to rehearse it. Okay.
Rehash it.
Tell me when the podcast goes live. I'm rehearsing this story.
All right, go ahead with your rehearsal.
I watched, buddy, not the Justin we know, but my other friend Justin. I watched him drop $200 at a con. For a G1 Prime and a G1 Megatron. I think it was the first Comic-Con, first or second. I think it was the first Comic-Con that Jordan had down here. And it was like the little, I think you, I don't know if you remember us telling you when we did the con wrap up when last year, but it was the Surface of the Sun con. I mean, because it was
in this
4-H building, hardly no air circulation. It was like one of the hottest days. You were sweating all over things. But anyway, yeah, my buddy found a G1, Generation 1 Prime and Megatron. Still in the box, my friend. Still in the box.
Oh, man.
So that makes it, a little
boxes.
Bit more. Shut up, Mark Radulich. Still in the box. That's why. And
no, if it was Mark Radulich, he would be. All in that guy's face for even buying the
toy. Yeah, for leaving it. Yeah, for leaving
it
in there.
Kids? Did you buy them for your kids? No, Mark, buy them for me because I like them.
Yeah, there's no Yeah, there was no – from what I can see, I think there's a little bit of damage to the boxes. But, man, he – you know, that guy that – first off, the guy that we know – or the guy that I know, Justin, he's got himself a Prime and a Megatron, Generation 1, sitting on his shelf, and he's damn proud of it. And the guy that sold it walked away with $200. So, Mark Radulich. Tell Mark Radulich.
The guy that walked away with $200.
Exactly. I'd be the same way. I would be the exact same way. But –
listen,
regardless,
I'm a collector of things, mostly just Pop Funko.
Mm-hmm.
And but if I see something for a good price that, you know, I had as a kid or something like that, I'd be like, man, you know, I'd really like that. One of my gifts, Christmas gifts from my mom. We had a good Christmas. We opened a few things and talked and ate and had fun. And my mom said, "Oh, you have a stocking. You have to open your stocking." I was like, "Stocking? I'm a grown man. Give me my stocking." You know, and it was funny. And I was like, but she just didn't know how else to wrap this. And I opened up the stocking, and I got an original out of the box, of course, but an original He-Man.
Oh, really?
Perfect condition. All of his weapons, the axe, the sword, the shield, you know, everything looks great. Along with that, an original battle cat with all of his armor and everything.
Oh, his armor? Nice.
Yeah, had everything on it. I just about cried. I was like, "Where did you get this?" She goes, "I found it at a flea market."
That's a
like,
mom
sure.
who remembers what her kid loves.
Yeah,
it is.
It
That's
was just
awesome
one of
stuff.
The things. Yeah, it was so cool. And I've got one of those. Not to get off of, you know, we're talking about 80s toys, but, you know, to go back to Transformers, our Justin, you know, Screaming Boys Justin, the Invisible mm-hmm. himself, said, "Hey, okay, let me give you a little backstory. On our commentary, you'll find that I really like Cup, the Autobot Cup. Sergeant Cup is what they call him now. Cup is... He transforms into what looks to be like an El Camino, but it's really like a pickup truck kind of thing."
Mm-hmm.
I like Cup just because he's the grizzled old warrior, you know, soldier that has all the war stories and everything, and you know, the Dinobots like him. Like, "Please, you know, tell Grimlock's story, you know, of all, you know, his war story."
Yeah.
And so I just really like Cup, you know, because even though he was kind of older, he could still hold his own. He ripped the tail off a Sharktacon and started, you know, whipping butt with it.
He did.
And I was just like, yeah, he's a cool character. And Mark hates Cup. He finds him useless. And so I said, "Mark, you're wrong." And so I preached the usefulness and awesomeness of Sergeant Cup. They call him Sergeant Cup now. You know, he just started up as Cup, but I think they call him Sergeant Cup now. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, Justin messages me on Facebook and says, "Hey, check, you know, keep watching your mail. You got a package coming." I was like, "What are you talking about, man?" And I was like, "You don't have to send me anything." He said, No. "This is, you know, something I know you'd like, and I found it." So yesterday I come out and there's a package sitting in my my mailbox that the mail handler ever so lovely crammed into my mailbox.
Yeah.
So I grab it and I open it up, and inside in this Ziploc bag is Sergeant Cup.
Oh, wow.
It is a Sergeant Cup figure. It's one of the remakes of it.
Okay.
And which is not an original one, which is...
Is this the picture you shared with us?
Yes, that is my Sergeant Cup that Justin sent.
Wow, dude. That's a sharp-looking figure.
Super pumped about this. And Justin has no idea that this is, like, this is amazing. This is one of the best things I've ever received from someone.
That is
and
tremendous.
And he's just the coolest guy. I can't believe he did that for me. I mean, he's just a great guy, and it was just... one of the best gifts I've ever gotten in my life. And
that's cool.
So I've got a Sergeant. He's actually sitting here on the desk with me, with his gun pointed to me. Point that somewhere else, Cup. And he's fairly difficult to transform. He's not boxed, but that's fine.
Hey, yeah.
You know, but, you know, I mean, I prefer them unboxed so I can, you know, set them out and enjoy them. And
yeah.
Not play with them, maybe. but, but, you know, so I have a sergeant. So, Mark, yeah, exactly, yeah. So, Mark Radulich, I have a Sergeant Cup figure. I have a cup figure. And
that's
he, and
so
this
awesome.
Is not. So, we have decided to lovingly name this episode of Screaming Boy the Cups and Crotches episode. Because whenever we talk about 80s toys, I always bring up Cup, and I always bring up the G.I. Joe crotches, which always broke.
That's the truth.
So
that's pretty cool, man.
The Transformers. Okay, so Transformers, the whole the rundown of these guys, right? They are sentient robotic beings from another planet called Cybertron. They apparently have souls. They interact with one another. They laugh. They cry. They get angry. They fight. They kill. They die. They live. They flirt with each other. Hello, Springer and RC. so, you know, it's a really interesting concept because they're robots in disguise, so they can transform into vehicles, you know, tanks, cars, planes, helicopters, motorcycles, dinosaurs. Some of them are triple changers. They can, you know, Astrotrain, the Decepticon, can transform into a space shuttle or a giant train.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So this is just one of those concepts as a kid that blew my mind. So I was intrigued from the start, but just like any other great 80s cartoon, the cartoon was made just to push the toys, and which was fine by me because I'm going to buy these toys. You know, G.I. Joe and all, you know, Transformers. Thundercats was the only one I really didn't get into. But but the whole thing behind this is they have crash landed on Earth, and they have adopted Earth as their home. They're trying to gather this energy source named Energon to fuel their ship, to fuel them, whatever it needs to be. That was another funny part because Cup in the movie wanted to give some of these other life forms, robotic life forms on this planet. They didn't know where they were. He said, well, I'll give them an Energon snack. And he reaches down a little far south below the belt and opens up a compartment and pulls out Energon snacks.
Forgot all
and I'm
about
like,
that.
Well, he's got some crotch snacks.
Crotch
so,
snacks, crotch goodies. Oh,
so,
wonderful.
And... Yeah, but it's got these, you know, it's got this, I don't know, it was a mystery about it, you know, why are, you know, what are they going to do, where are they here, and it was just, the thing that caught me when I was a kid, it was just darn cool. These robots transformed into, and Megatron was a pistol when he first came out, he was a Luger.
Mm-hmm.
German Luger with a scope on it. And his scope, when he transformed, went on his arm, made his arm cannon. So what I neglected to see when I was a kid was the absolute... they just completely ignored any kind of physics or
oh,
depth
my
perception
gosh. How
or anything
did, how,
in the cartoon.
How bad... We kind of railed on that quite a bit there during the film commentary, and it still sticks
not,
out to my
not,
mind this day because
not as much as I wanted to.
Yeah,
you
dude,
know what I mean. But I mean,
they changed size like it was like, okay. How in the world you as a kid were asking those questions?
Right.
So
right.
That means something.
So,
yeah.
Like, it was one of the things where, okay, all right, in the movie, I know we've talked about the movie. In the movie, the Decepticons launched this sneak attack in the opening moments of the movie against the Autobots. They blow a hole in the side of their ship, and that's when the Decepticons proceed to murder all of the original Autobots on the ship. All right, so they're standing there, they're facing off. They're like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? Kind of makes a good standoff, and Megatron's kind of like kill them all, and he transforms and he does a backflip and he transforms into his gun, but as he transforms from a 20-foot tall robot into a small pistol that can be held in the hands of about a 15-foot tall robot.
Yeah, imagine you yourself at least folding yourself into the position of a gun and then me coming around and picking your ass up. No.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to happen. I wonder if it has ever been, I'm going to look this up while you continue to talk, but I wonder if it's ever been discussed about the whole size changing, like in the cartoon, like somehow they made it continuity. Oh yeah, we can change size because blah, blah, blah. We have Iridium X in our blood or something. I don't know. But
Iridium X?
I'm just making stuff up.
I don't think so. Yeah, I can tell. But it's – I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where, like, it bothered me. It bothers me more now, I guess you could say. It bothered me as a kid a little bit. But now I can look at it and laugh about it, but it still kind of bothers me.
Well, here we go.
Like Astro Train.
Yeah. We did discuss a little bit about how that fight occurred on Astro Train that defied all logic. All right.
When they're running from the opening battle, Astro Train turns into a train and he lowers his back gate down and everybody's jumping into the engine car of the train. Well, first of all, you've got all these giant robots running to this train. He was just the same size as the other robots. So when he transformed, he grew big enough for them to cram in there. So
yeah.
they looked a little cramped as they were going in there. All right. Then he takes off and he transforms into a space shuttle and goes into space. So apparently from the time he transformed into a space shuttle to he got in space, he tripled in size.
Yeah.
Because they were all pretty comfortable just chilling there. And, some of them were sitting in the corner. Some of them were, like, huddled, laying down because they were damaged or killed or dead or whatever. And then in the middle of this battle where the Decepticons were trying to figure out who's going to be leader now that Megatron had been, unceremoniously just tossed into space by Starscream, the Constructicons, which were evil construction equipment robots, they changed into, bulldozers and concrete, mixers and things like that. They formed Devastator. They all transformed. They could transform into a giant robot named Devastator.
Yeah, just imagine, your construction equipment that you normally see, and then they just stack them on top of each other, and there's your best size analog if you were actually seeing this happen in real life. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Devastator was as tall as a building. He was their secret weapon to attack Autobot City.
Yes!
And he's ripping
yes.
it apart.
He was.
And he's as tall as a city. So apparently, Astro Train has grown into the size of a city.
So, are you ready for an explanation? Oh, have you hit the punchline yet?
No, that's it.
Yeah, folks. There was a building inside of a space shuttle.
Yeah. It's like a building inside of a spaceship. And then the small cassette tapes that came out of Soundwave sheds, who grew in size as well, probably about a 6 or 7 foot person.
I think what is a still from the cartoon where I wish I could tell you who that is driving an Autobot truck, but it is clearly an Autobot driving another Autobot. Now, how he shrunk down in order to be able to fit into the cab of – it's like if you shrunk down and I was just able to fit you in my chest. That's the only thing I can think of to compare it to.
What the heck?
All right, so I have an explanation if you want one. At least I am on right now. I'm actually on the Transformers Wiki. All right?
Okay.
And they have a specific thing here just for size changing. So I'm going to read you straight from it here. Maybe we'll get some answers. All right.
Go for it. I'm ready.
Explanations. All right. Although size changing has been evident in Transformers from the very beginning, yes, we've covered that, the original animated series and comic books never addressed the topic. And it was regarded as simply being the way of things. Fandom debate on this topic has seemingly inspired later fiction to offer varying explanation on how it functions. So we have two examples. Well, actually three. They have three, four. Fandom, well, counting fandom explanations. I'll read you the first one here, which is Dreamwave Generation 1 continuity. Now, what I assume Dreamwave is the name of a – is that a name of a comic book publisher? It's fairly – Dreamwave published some comic books. So that's – you know, you got Marvel, you got DC, you got Dreamwave on the way bottom when it comes to sales, I'm sure. But anyway, Dreamwave says, the first to explain enlarging was parts compression – The notion that the Transformers in question, such as Astro Train and Broadside, had many dense layers of armor in robot mode, which then slid out, expanding to create a much larger but less strongly armored vehicle mode. Fans have referred to this as the Origami Transformers explanation, and it appeared in their More Than Meets the Eye encyclopedia. The second explanation to justify shrinking was mass conversion. This method put it that Transformers like Soundwave were generally endowed with the ability to transform not simply their bodies, but their entire molecular structure. This ability, not under their conscious control, only activates when they transform, shifting their atoms according to a predetermined schematic. So that's actually pretty interesting.
Your
atoms are actually transforming as well. So I hope you understand now.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry to ask this.
They do have IDW, which, hey, we just mentioned them. They do have an explanation there. But, you know, I'll leave it at that. They have taken steps to try and explain it. But clearly, in our youth, sir, even though we were kids and we were bothered by it, there was no explanation up until very recently.
They said, screw it, they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let them wonder. They don't know anything.
It's so funny. On this Transformers Wiki, there's a little section down here that says, you left a piece out. This article is a stub. It is missing information. You can help Transformers Wiki by expanding it. And you know what the picture is that's associated with that?
Oh, no,
it's,
what?
It's Cup pointing at my face, the one you gave me days back.
Mark Radulich, Cup is awesome. Deal with it.
Interesting stuff. I learned something new. That's pretty cool.
All right. So, okay, you've watched the TV show, you've watched the movie, you've played with the toys.
Yes, indeed.
Who is your favorite Transformer of all time. I mean, you can pretty much mark Optimus Prime off the list.
Yeah, he's always going to be somebody's favorite because he's the guy, you know, he's the hero. He was even the goody two shoes of the IDW crossover we read.
Yeah.
He was the guy that actually seemed like he was definitely the hero. I will go with Starscream because he was just an insufferable jerk, and he's probably sometimes the most entertaining, especially in the movie that we watched. He was a jerk and stabbed Megatron in the back. You never could trust Starscream, and you never knew which way he was going to go. Didn't he end up being like? See, I'm getting flashbacks from the cartoon now. Didn't he end up becoming like an Autobot at one point, or helping the Autobots.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, he
and I could
the
be way off.
Before.
Yeah, and just because he hated Megatron. So
yeah, I mean that's it. He wanted control of the Decepticons.
Yeah,
I mean that was the only reason he would ever help them.
He was probably the most dynamic. So I'll give the nod to Starscream. He turned into a jet, which was pretty cool. And boy, did he have an annoying voice. I don't know who's.
Oh, same as Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna give my nod to Starscream.
That's a good one. That is definitely a good one. Do you have a favorite Autobot?
Autobot. Okay, so we're marking off.
This is a question.
No, we're marking off Optimus Prime. Give me a second, because the problem is that I've got to think of the ones that I really enjoyed. I like the Dinobots. There was a Stegosaurus Dinobot, right?
Yeah.
I will say.
Wait.
There was, I'm pretty sure.
Triceratops? Yeah.
Brontosaurus, Triceratops, T-Rex, and Stegosaurus, wasn't there? Now we got to look. Dinobots.
All right. Sorry, I had a little technical difficulty for a second.
Let me see.
There was Grimlock. He was the T-Rex. There was a Triceratops, which was Sludge or something, something like that. There was Swoop, the Pterodactyl. There was the Brontosaurus. And there was a Stegosaurus, too, I think.
I believe there is. I'm looking at, the thing is that I don't remember what the G1s look like. Weren't they gold? They were gold. Yes, they were gold and gray.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a Stegosaurus one, but he don't really have a whole lot of spikes on his tail. So, I'm going to give it to the Stegosaurus because that was always my favorite dinosaur. So I will go with Dinobots. See, I wish I had the knowledge that like a Justin Thomas does or that you guys do, because you could name some of them off. I was always a big fan of going back to the Decepticons. I was a big fan of the tapes. That always changed, you know. You had the
Soundwave was the tape deck.
The cassette.
So you had Laserbeak, you had Laserbeak. You had Rumble. You had Ratbat, which he was a later. But the ones that came out were Rumble, and then the Red Rumble, or purple. You know, it was purple and red, I think. And I can't remember his name. And then there was Laserbeak, and then there was Ravage. It was the Panther.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know? Okay, Ratbat was kind of like a lame tape. He was like he was a poor man's Laserbeak. And if somebody's going to get me for saying that, but did you know that he had control of the Decepticons for a while? He was the Decepticon.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. I just remember reading that somewhere, you know, in probably a wiki about Ratbat. I was like, nobody really likes Ratbat. And then I was like reading it, and I was like, holy crap, Ratbat was the Decepticons leader.
That's pretty crazy.
I don't know if it was like, I don't know if it was like Kane winning the world title and then losing it the next day kind of deal, you know. But
Ratbat's like he fills a vacancy for like 3 hours.
Yeah, it's like Megatron went to get his hair done or something, and he's like, "All right, Ratbat, you're in control." And everybody's like, "Oh, look at that! He's giving Ratbat something to do. Well, that's sweet." And he's like, "You guys, Megatron left me in control. Don't turn the air up too high." And they're like, "Yeah, whatever, Ratbat.
He's in control of the thermostat."
Don't eat too many Energon crotch snacks, whatever, Ratbat. And so I don't know if Ratbat was really cool. Somebody would call it and say, actually, Ratbat was really awesome because
he had the brain of like 5 Transformers. And
Nobody cares. All right. So I guess my favorite Decepticon was always Soundwave.
He's
just
pretty
because
cool.
He was kind of like he was kind of like the silent killer. Like, he didn't have much to say, but, he was always the trusted second He was Megatron's trusted lackey. You know, he always had. He was always right behind him. And then he was just like, he was really cool. And then, I had all kinds of favorite Autobots, but it has to be a tie between. Everybody's gonna be like, really? Yeah, it has to be a tie between Ironhide.
But Prime.
But Ironhide and Ratchet. Ratchet the Ambulance, who bought us in the movie, too. Yeah.
Damn.
So I like those two a lot. And Hound. Hound was cool. But I really liked those two for some reason. I don't know, as a kid. But so those two. And then, of course, you got Optimus Prime, Ultra Magnus, all the new ones. Cup. Hot Rod was kind of lame. I think it was Judd Nelson's voice that did it for me, but he was still cool because he had the tailpipe laser guns on his arm. That was cool. That was
Yeah.
And then Wreck-Gar from the movie, he was the Junkion, who had the nipple guns and gun nipples. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please look up Wreck-Gar from the Transformers movie on Google Images, and you will understand. He has guns for nipples. He has two guns sticking out strategically placed where his nipples, if he were a human being, would be. So he has
hilarious
gun nipples. So anyway. He was cool, but I guess the two that I really wanted as a kid and really liked were Ironhide and Ratchet, because Ironhide, because he was like, he was the second in command too, kind of, you know, he was like, he was the war horse. He was the one that everybody, you know, went to. He could take on the whole Decepticon army, it felt like, until
who the
he got
heck was
blindsided and then destroyed.
Who the heck was the Decepticon truck like Optimus Prime?
Oh, my gosh. I remember that.
I'm looking at it right now. There's like a there's a Decepticon truck. It's black and purple and gray. I'm trying to figure out. It doesn't have a name here. Let me look. Damn.
I can't remember.
Yawning.
Oh, man. Easy. Was it Blackout?
I'm looking for a name. I don't see one yet. Dude, you know that they had a line of...
No, look Blackout.
I'm looking. Decepticon Semi.
Yeah, the Decepticon Semi, because he looked almost exactly like... I'm looking at the toy right now.
Yeah.
Motormaster. Yeah. I'm looking at the toy right now. And I want that toy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool looking. Dude, there
Shout
was
out
a...
Mark Radulich, I can hear you. I can hear you judging me from there.
He ain't even on the podcast. Probably won't even listen. He'll still start judging. There was a line, I thought, of G.I. Joe toys that were Transformers. Am I dreaming that? Because
no,
that
I'm
is
sure
probably like the coolest thing ever. I know they did a Star Wars Transformers crossover, which was pretty freaking bad. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've got Star Wars vehicles that are changing into iconic Transformers, holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking for anything that's Transformers G.I. Joe vehicles. Oh, that's a concept right there. That's the Arctic Cat.
No. Yeah.
That looks pretty cool. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, so those were my favorite. I remember that because he was part of Motormaster was part of a line that he was another combiner, and he was like Devastator, and in one of the first seasons or in the G1 cartoon, Generation 1 cartoon, some of the Autobots disguised themselves as those particular Decepticons. And they were, like, kind of catching on to him. They're like, well, won't you turn into the big robot? And they tried to, and they failed, and they all fell down. And they're like, oh, you're not Decepticons. And they're like, oh, no, everybody run. And so I remember that now.
Interesting.
I need a life.
No, but, this is the life, is what you meant to say.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Do you want to hear something here real quick? Okay? Oh, it's a template.
Okay.
I don't know
if this
works.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just looked up Hasbro cartoons from the 80s, okay?
Okay.
Now, this is a template, so I don't know if... Because they've got TV specials and they got TV series. They have standalone series, G.I. Joe, Real American Hero. Okay. Inhumanoids.
Okay.
Ever heard of Inhumanoids?
I remember the Inhumanoids.
All right. Then we have Jim
and
the Holograms.
Their...
Then we have Transformers.
Okay.
Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light. Which I've heard of the Visionaries before. Matter of fact, me and Dean Compton were just talking earlier, and he was trying to remember the guys that all came together for Revolution, and he named Visionaries as one of them, and then he was like, Sektars too, right? And I'm like, nope, neither one of those guys made it in, but Action Man sure as crap did.
Wow,
and then,
Sektars, man, those would have been so much better than Action Man.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I
no
said
doubt.
It.
No doubt.
Yeah, I said it.
Now, films from the 80s, G.I. Joe the movie, which we've discussed a little bit there, Transformers the movie, and third Hasbro film from the 80s. Do you want to take a guess?
Third Hasbro film from the 80s.
Yep.
Transformers, G.I. Joe. Let's see, He-Man.
Let me see if I can
Mattel.
I can get. You want to hear this? You want to hear the stars? Are you ready for this?
Here's the stars. Yeah, hit me with that.
Here's the stars of the said movie. Starring Danny DeVito, Madeline Kahn, Cloris Leachman, Ray Perlman, and Tony Randall.
Holy crap.
Yeah, dude.
Was it Fern Gully?
No, this is 19. That's 90s. Pretty sure. Wasn't Fern Gully in the 90s? This is
probably from
1986. Same year. Actually, just a little bit before, theatrically released June 20th, 1980. Close. Very close. I don't know if Care Bears is a Hasbro property.
Oh, probably not.
Come on, man.
What was it?
You ready?
Yeah.
My Little Pony, the movie.
Okay, that's why I didn't know it. I don't feel so bad.
Danny DeVito? Wow. He probably played the bad guy. He probably played the bad guy.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah. Man, well, I'm sitting here thinking, I don't even remember there being a My Little Pony movie out, which is awesome because I wasn't interested in it as a child.
Yeah, we weren't, man.
You
There's
know?
No way you could get me to watch My Little Pony as a kid. You know, I
understand.
The
Care Bears movie.
Did you really? Now,
Care Bears
I
movie.
Can remember.
Yeah, it was scary.
Bits and pieces of that. Very small snippets of that in my childhood, but I don't recall much from. I don't recall much from My Little Pony at all. But yes.
No,
here.
I don't.
Whoa.
Huh. Wow. Sorry. I feel like I did that.
You did do that.
My bad.
I feel like I did that. Okay, well, then you did that.
Care Bears movie was 85.
85, does it?
So that's, I was six or seven when it came out. That's probably why I went to see it.
Okay.
And my mom was like, hey, there's a Care Bears movie out. And I was like, okay. And we all went to see it. Because, as a kid, my mom bought us Care Bears. I remember having the blue one with the grumpy cloud on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I had
the leader, too. Grumpy Bear? Yeah, I had the leader,
I'm
too.
I'm pretty sure.
Lionheart? I wanted to call him Lionheart. I knew that was his name. I was like, I want to call him Lionheart.
And that's sad because I honestly do not.
How do you know this?
I don't know. Here, well, did I tell you? I can't remember if I was on this program or not. Dude, we do too many podcasts. I can't keep them straight.
Yeah.
I sold 11 issues of Care Bears magazine. Did I tell you that? Or Care Bears magazine? Care Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they made a magazine.
Yeah.
And one of them was a crossover with Madballs, which was – and
Care Bears
I never read it.
Madballs?
Yes. The Madballs.
Just to see where it went.
I know, dude. I have a picture of the cover, and I sold it before I could read it. I was like, they actually showed up in the Care Bears comic. That's straight from 19 – if I remember correctly, it was 1986 copyright on those issues, so it's probably 86 or 87. But that's a neat crossover to think about.
That's something
Madball.
That, you know, yeah. Wow, okay. All right, so we've talked about Transformers. We talked about everything, really. I thought it would be fun. I mean, like Transformers, yeah, 80s. We might as well just name this the 80s show. But, what brought us here was the Transformers. Now, I'm a big fan of the Transformers the way they used to be. I don't like the Michael Bay Transformers. I mean, the movie with Marky Mark in it, which he would probably murder me in real life if I called him that. But the movie with Mark Wahlberg, I liked. I did. I'm not going to lie. I did. You know, I did get down on that one a little bit. I was like, okay, this one's not as bad. I don't know if it was Shia LaBeouf or whatever in the other one. It was just, you know, it's like, this is not good. And they just weren't good, you know. The Transformers look like a hot mess. You know, it's just like a big fuzzy ball that rolls around on the screen and you see explosions. That's what it looks like to me. I went to see one of them in 3D and I almost threw up. You know, it was crazy. So, I'm not even kidding. I can't do 3D anymore, and that in 3D was like it was torture. So, I'm not a big fan of that. Which you'll hear more about that on TV Party tonight, tomorrow night. I'm not a big fan of that. So, I like the Transformers having guns in their hands. Which the Michael Bay version, you know, their hands become the guns, you know, transforms into guns. And I get it. You know, that's, you know, I'm not going to nitpick it. If it's just a preference, I'd rather have my old Transformers, you know, than the new ones. Whatever. But, I, you know, we've talked about our favorite Transformers from the past. I thought it would be fun to take a look at some of the crappiest Transformers that have ever been put out, as far as not just the toy line, but we're talking about the toy line, the comic book, and the cartoon. So we're going to go with the 16 worst Autobots of all time. And we got this from list. Thank you, Screen Rant. We got this from you guys. So some of these guys I've heard of, and some of them I haven't. So number 16 is Autobot Broadside. Awesome. I just got a ransomware popped up on my screen.
Oh, nice.
Said I can't. Yeah, yeah. So Broadside, he's a triple changer, okay? And daggone it, stupid ransomware. All right. So... the worst.
Can't do a list when we can't see the list. Can't do a list when we can't see the list. Screen Rant did this? They're hitting you with ransomware? Oh, come on,
well,
Screen Rant.
Something,
better.
Yeah. I know. All right, Broadside. He was a triple changer. Triple changers are pretty cool. It says they get to be giant robots and two different vehicles. And he was a plane and an aircraft carrier. But he was afraid of heights.
That's pretty
what
funny.
The heck? All right, so there was another one. I've never heard of this one, but it's called Rack and Run. Rack and Ruin. Sorry, Rack and Ruin. Basically, the author here puts it the best way. It looks like. So desperate were the doctors to save Rack and his brother Ruin that they merged the two light conjoined twins, making it so that these robots in disguise were alive but could no longer transform.
Oh, that's
and
horrible.
They're stuck together, and they don't transform into everything. That's it. They have hammers for hands. That's it. All right. And then you got number 14, Scrounge. Scrounge looks stupid. He was in the
Scrounge
comic book.
Scrounge looks like, yeah, I'm looking at him here. He's just this tiny little golden guy.
Golden, yeah, and he doesn't look like he transforms anything. this is a small, sweet, but incompetent guy who has a special arm. There's no other like it. Because somebody tore off his arm, and he told them, no, that's my special arm. There's no other like it. And he turns into a wheel. And that's it. He turns into a wheel.
A freaking wheel. Whoa. All
right. So
I've got advertisements going. Screen Rant's killing me. Give me.
Yeah, I know, right?
I've got all sorts of audio going off. I'm about to start dancing. My goodness. There we go. I'm going to shut that down and go right back into it here in a second.
I must have said something. Alexa, shut up. My echo went off. This is a great podcast material. Number 13, Hot Shot. You know you're a jackass when people say you're worse than Hot Rod. Much like the prime killer himself, Hot Shot doesn't believe in teamwork since he's smarter than everyone else and often responds to being given orders by waving them off or complaining about being given hard work.
Boo.
Constantly needs to be rescued is an unrelated issue. Totally unrelated. All right. So not only that, but he befriended a bunch of human children, which is creepy. That's it. I mean, he's pretty terrible. I don't even know what he transforms into. And for worst of all, Hotshot, for some reason, wears a hat. Yeah, look at his hat. Look at it. That's awful. I don't even know what he transforms into. All right. Number 12 is Landfill. Landfill was a great guy, they said. He's a decent soldier, by all accounts, a real nice guy. But unfortunately for him, he lives up to his name. I don't remember Landfill, but Landfill literally stinks. Apparently very, very badly. It keeps him isolated from the other Autobots. For whatever reason, Landfill either doesn't notice or doesn't care. Of course, this brings up all kinds of horrible evolutionary questions. Landfill stinks because apparently he changes into a garbage barge.
Yeah,
number 11 is Huffer.
Up.
I actually had a Huffer figure. Huffer turns into a little dump truck. Huffer does not huff gasoline or glue. Huffer is just that name because he complains all the time. He huffs and puffs. And he's a terrible transformer. Skylink. Skylink was a terrible transformer as a toy. And it was just this giant, I mean, like, he was handy to have around because he was, like, this giant space shuttle.
Oh, my gosh, I'm looking at the picture.
But his transformation, you literally just pulled feet out, pulled his neck out, and a tail, and that was it.
That's so lame.
And he was a dinosaur.
He is a dinosaur.
So lame. He can't do anything. He can't turn around. I mean, like, he has to do a 14-point turn just to turn around and look at somebody. So he can't. He's not any good in battle. So Skylinks was awful. Warpath I had as well as a cartoon. Warpath was a tank, and he transformed into a robot with a gun sticking out of his chest.
Oh, geez.
So if he talked to you and he looked at you, you constantly had a gun.
A gun in
your
face
or chest. He was kind of terrible too. And what topped it off is they point out here in the list here, Warpath, it says, remember Michael Winslow, the guy in all the Police Academy movies who could make all these sound effects? Well, Warpath is his Transformers analog, but with one major difference. Warpath has no talent.
Oh, no.
He would literally make noises as he talks like he has some sort of disorder. Where Michael Winslow would make his sounds realistically, Warpath goes the route of the Adam West Batman show. A quote from the articulate talking tape. Okay, Knights, let's go blam zingum. All right, he was terrible. Number 8 was the Dinobots.
Yeah, that's
They are
That's
on the
a
list.
Rough one to see on the list, man.
Ever. Right, because in the original, comic book, their two primary functions, it says here on the list, their two primary functions are to drink heavily and kill Decepticons. So naturally, they're made into the idiotic comic relief of the G1 cartoon from the 80s.
Oh, yes.
So apparently in the original, in the Transformer history, in comic books or whatever, they are much different from their cartoon counterparts.
Yeah, they do seem that way.
And in the series, Wheeljack created the Dinobots, but wanted them to be like real dinosaurs, so made them very powerful and very stupid. Apparently, no one thought after the fact to reprogram the morons to make them less of a danger to themselves and others. But then, this is probably just Decepticon propaganda anyway.
Not
destroying their own base, the Dinobots like to wade in sewage, make dire situations worse, get locked up when they're not needed, mangle the English language, and make friends with Wheelie.
Oh, boo.
God, Wheelie. Oh, if he's not on this list. All right. Repugnus. Never heard of Repugnus.
No, uh-uh.
But he's a truck that turns into, remember watching those commercials as a kid and the truck turns into a giant robot? Remember seeing that and just crapping your pants, just about crapping your pants? In the universe, it makes sense, too. Part of the war between Autobots and Decepticons is the stealthy spying. You never know what's an enemy. Then you have Repugnance, who doesn't believe in stealth. Rather than use a vehicle or a telephone pole or a stupid plant as an alt mode, he's just a giant robot bug monster thing.
Oh, nice.
He and the monster bots. To do unsavory missions, which matches Repugnance's personality. Never heard of him. All right. Number six is from Beast Wars. Cheetor.
He was
just awful. Cheetor is an idiot. He was just a robot that turned into a cheetah, and I never really liked Beast Wars anyway. Number five from Beast Wars again is Botanica, and Botanica is a robot that turns into a houseplant. yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, that's scary. That is imposing.
Number four, Sea Spray is the leader of the Autobot Navy. It should be noted that the Autobot Navy is an army of one.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a second.
This might be the universe's first pity promotion. The fact is, Sea Spray isn't a very capable soldier on land. He's much better in the water, but there are no oceans on Cybertron.
Yeah, dude.
He's terrible.
You would be, yeah. Out of your element.
Number three is Night Scream, another one of the newer ones. Beast Machines. And it has nothing to do with Starscream or Nightwing. It's Night Screams. I don't know. Oh, he's a mutant bat with an emo haircut and personality. a mutant bat. He doesn't even transform? Okay. Number two is Blur. I will completely agree with this because Blur was so annoying. Blur just does things fast. He was voiced by the guy that did the Micro Machines commercials in the 80s that talked really fast and annoyed you and annoyed your parents so they would never buy you Micro Machines. Or at least that's what happened in my world. And I don't even know what he changed into. And if you kind of look at him, he reminds me of the squirrel from Over the Hedge.
Oh, yeah.
Or just that one kid in school that always drank the energy drink or the Surge or whatever. He was always hyper. You just wanted to kill him.
It says here, his shining moment was in the G1 cartoon when we thought Optimus shot him to death. At least things were quiet for a while.
So true. And number one.
Oh.
Number one is Wheelie.
Oh, GoBot in disguise. Wheelie.
A GoBot in disguise. Yes. He had a slingshot for a weapon. The tiny chartreuse-colored Autobot with the sing-songy voice and a slingshot. Two things that are definitely helpful in an eon-spanning intergalactic war.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he was only ever obnoxious in every episode he was featured in, which was nearly all of them in seasons 3 and 4.
Oh my gosh.
If Wesley Crusher was a Transformer, he'd be Wheelie.
Wesley Crusher? Everybody hated Wesley Crusher.
Oh, they did, dude.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so that's amazing. This can't go on the rest of my life. Forget it, pal. Just get me a knife.
I've got...
the yawning.
Fourth Transformer podcast, and I'm already wore out. So you got your choice here. Would you be, number one, would you be an Autobot or a Decepticon?
Autobot.
All right. And what would you like to transform into?
Ooh, because you've got the appeal of transforming into an airplane.
That's right.
Of
be a plane,
yeah, of just being able
spaceship.
To fly. Yeah, you could transform into the rig and just be powerful and over, you know, like the leader's always the rig.
Oh yeah.
All right. They even turned the sports car into a rig. You know,
somewhat,
from Hot Rod to Rodimus Prime, somehow, some way.
Look like my dad deciding to go camping in the '80s.
Right.
You
know. That's what it was. That's what it was. That's amazing. It's Rodimus Prime, the '80s camper.
He's got the fifth wheel, and they call him the fifth wheel campers, you know, hanging out in the back.
Yes.
Just in case. You know, can't find a room to
stay. Just in case.
Can't find a room to stay. Oh, goodness.
I would have to say probably I'm built for power, not for speed, my friend. So I'm going to have to go with, like, a rig or a tank. Probably
all right.
A big rig.
Tank's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I've always liked the gun ones, though. I always liked the ones that transformed into some type of a weapon. Now, my issues with size changing aside, Shockwave was pretty darn cool.
Shockwave was cool because of the pistol. He was another pistol transformer.
Yeah, and it was like a weird, like, space pistol too, wasn't it? It wasn't
like
a regular
like
old pistol.
Laser. No,
yeah,
it wasn't
kind of laser
that
gun.
Crappy Gruger.
Yeah. So I'd probably be a Decepticon and change into a weapon. Did the Autobots have any
Springer?
Springer.
Springer was the green helicopter and think car. I think he was a triple changer. But when he changed from the helicopter into the robot form, his helicopter blades transformed into his sword. He had a sword.
Oh,
so that would be
that's
pretty
right.
cool too.
Yeah. And were there any other, like, Transformers that transformed – well, I should say Autobots that transformed into weapons? There wasn't, was there?
There wasn't. Not to my knowledge, no. To my knowledge, I'm thinking they were, like – Ironhide was a fan. Ratchet was a ambulance, and he had Jazz was a sports car. Hound was a Jeep, was an Army Jeep. Prime, of course, was the big rig. Bumblebee
Prime.
Was worthless.
Prime!
And then you had, they were all vehicles, to my knowledge. Vehicles and some sort of animal or something like that. Because you had Blaster, who was, you know, the Autobots version of the of Soundwave. So he had the tape deck, you know, the cassettes. Perceptor was the two-story tall I had a good joke.
Well, here,
it.
I think I have
microscope.
One.
He had the building-sized microscope.
Some type of scope. I think that's what he doesn't need to be a microscope periscope, binoculars.
He needs to be a
telescope.
Freaking whatever that you look at stars and planets with.
Telescope.
Planetarium. Yeah. So
here we go. Autobot Generation 1 continuity. The name Six Gun isn't just metaphoric. The Autobot soldier is literally a walking, talking mass of weaponry. Six Gun is one of Metroplex's autonomous troops and is composed of six of the Citybot's guns. So he was just a gun. Along with Scamper and Slammer, he helps patrol and defend Metroplex's interior and periphery. So I don't know if there was ever a Six Gun figure.
Who did he hang out with?
He was, along with Scamper and Slammer, he helps patrol and defend.
Exactly, so he was lame.
Well, he was just a robot or not a robot. I think they're all robots.
No,
Jesse,
he hung out with somebody named Scamper.
Oh, boo. Come on. I'm trying to see if there's a Six Gun figure. Why did I go to Chrome? I want to go there. Six Gun.
He probably, they were probably all with, what you call it? Who are they with?
What do you mean? Autobots and the Metroplex. What do you mean?
Metroplex. They were probably included with Metroplex, maybe.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. You bought Metroplex and you got those guys, I guess.
You got those guys. Yeah. Which
I'm
That's cool and all, but you also had to deal with Scamper.
I don't think these guys transformed into guns, though. I mean, I'm looking at the figures right now, and yeah, I don't know. It's a matter of finding an actual Six Gun figure, and I don't know if one exists. Holy, that's definitely. I had this. Dude, I'm going to send this to you. I need to know what this is.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Yeah, okay. Let me just – I'm going to send you the link to the image. Hopefully it'll work when I send it to you. But this is something that I owned. And I'm going to read you that – I doubt that worked. Let me go click on that and see if that works.
Yes, it worked.
It did. Okay. Do you recognize that at all? Because I did have that. It is – now they have it listed here as – Gobots, Rogun, Transformer, Cap Gun, Rifle. Rogun?
Holy crap.
Rogun.
Yes.
Do you remember this thing?
Yes, I do.
I think I had this at one point. Rogun, Transformer, Rifle. Yes,
wow.
I did. I'm looking at...
Yeah.
I don't know if this was a Transformer, though. Arco Transformers and Robots action figure. Arco. So, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is an audio podcast, and we're doing a wonderful job of explaining what we're looking at. Here, let me do my best to describe.
Yeah.
If you go – oh, that's a GoBots all the way. Here, I'm sending you another link.
Yeah, it has to be.
There is a – let me see here. Here's the link. There's a better picture. We actually have a caller, Ronnie.
Oh, hey, who's calling in?
Let's find out here. Give me just 1 second. All right, caller, you are live. Area code 740, please.
Hey,
go for it.
Sorry to be a little late here. I just discovered your topic tonight was Transformers.
Oh, that's
yeah.
We reviewed the new movie.
No, we actually have that's on a show called Damn You Hollywood, and they reviewed the new movie, and they did it beautifully.
Okay, well, we won't replicate what they tried to do. I was just going to share, I'm of an age that Transformers came in after I was too old, but I'm constantly amazed at how much it appeals to people of a certain age that it was an integral part of their childhood. They just can't get enough of Transformers. So much so that, you know, there are 5 movies out now, right? 5?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, I'm counting them. Yeah, Transformers, you know, Dark of the Moon, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, this is the fifth one.
Man,
just amazing.
I can remember getting really excited when the first one hit, just because I was, you know, I was ready. I was ready for Transformers becoming live action, and man, what I cannot wait to see what it's going to be. And it took the world by storm, but boy, did it sour a lot of people as well. I mean, Ronnie just mentioned about how Michael Bay's interpretation of what we got on the screen is just, it's too excessive in my opinion. But Ronnie, what do you think of this, all these Transformer movies, man?
Well, the Transformer, like I said, it got better in my opinion with Mark Wahlberg's, I can't remember what that was, Age of Extinction, I think. So, and then they introduced the Dinobots and that. It got better with that. I was not a fan of the second and third Transformers movie. The first one was okay. But the second and third one, to me, were just, they used the blue humor in it, and I wasn't a fan of that. And Devastator looked terrible. But it's one of those things where I get that he's trying to modernize it and bring it into a new generation, but I felt that he went about it the wrong way. Prime looks okay, but there are too many moving parts and switching things around on the Transformers now. It makes them look just messy. It's not as clean, is not as quick and as it should be, in my opinion.
Okay, now by comparison, have you seen the movie Pacific Rim?
Yes, it should look like Pacific Rim.
And have you seen, Battleship?
I don't want to say that I liked Battleship, but I liked Battleship for what it was. If that makes sense?
Sure. I just wondered, compared to how many mechanical things rotate and turn and switch, if you felt that was, you know, too much, or if it was from the same book.
Definitely different books and everything on that, in my opinion. It was just it was totally in a different vein. I mean, you could almost tell that Battleship was not going to be a really good movie. Pacific Rim looked like what I would imagine the Transformers should look like.
Yeah, we're coming from with us growing up with that franchise, the Transformers franchise, we had that to look at and compare. We didn't have anything with when it come to Pacific Rim for sure, because I went into Pacific Rim. I know my monster movies. I know some, not like some of the other guests that we've had on here, but I was like, well, what do we want to get? And I didn't have a whole 3 or 4 series cartoon to base my expectations on, which I shouldn't have done with Transformers live action in the first place, as Mark Radulich will always say to us, don't base it off of what you love, base it off of what the craft looks like now. But still, I was a fan of Pacific Rim as well. I haven't watched Battleship though, but and I think that might be why I hate to look at things with rose colored glasses on from what I've seen in the past. And now it doesn't match up with what I was used to. And sometimes that's what I get from the Transformers movies. Caller, did you go watch the new one, or have you kept up with the films?
To tell you the truth, no. I have caught a few of them, just portions of it, when they're on broadcast television, usually FX or something like that. But no, I have not followed this series. Appeal to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't very impressive to you at all.
Well, it's not for my generation. I'm much more excited to see the new Spider-Man movie, which we will go see, not this weekend, but probably next weekend. That sounds good. I'm into a little different things because I'm of a slightly different generation, that's all.
Mm-hmm. I understand. How about Planet of the Apes?
You know, that was also something that I never got into as a kid, but I admit I have seen, I think, the first movie, maybe the second. I can't recall.
Okay.
I got to go.
All right. Good talking to you. Have a good one.
Have a good night now.
All right.
Thank you.
We got a caller, man. That was awesome.
So very glad he called in.
Yeah.
So you well, I mean, about those.
Let's stammer around here and dance for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that's how it goes. But
we don't get callers. That's just the thing. We're not used to it.
I know,
right? It's good that we put it out there. Then we get a caller and we're like, okay, how do we handle this? Well, let's just pretend we know what we're doing.
Thank you. I love you. I mean, what?
No, we appreciate that. Absolutely.
But,
okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Absolutely. I think that pretty much does it for the night.
We shall end it on that note.
Yeah, that was a high note, so we'll take it there.
What do you want?
Before
we get into plugs, let me get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you want to take us out on? Because I'm going to have it ready to rock and roll.
Touch.
Pick. Oh, we're going with touch. All right.
The touch.
Stan Bush. All right.
Come on,
okay.
Man. So that has been our very special Cups and Crotches episode of the Screamy Boy Podcast. That's our Transformers episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much. I believe that was Kirk that called in. So thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate that. Remember, if you ever want to call in while we're doing these live shows, you're more than welcome. The number's displayed, on Facebook and everywhere else. We'll call it out a few times here too later on. And with that, I'm going to say Jesse Starcher. We're pretty much on every show together except for Metal Hammer of Doom. So tell us what's been going on lately.
Yeah, dude, let's see. We mentioned IDW's Revolution was covered on Source Material this past Monday. If you are a If you're a fan of Hasbro toys and you like a good crossover, listen, you're not going to see that on screen anytime soon. All right?
No.
So can't hold out for the movie on that one. And I doubt there's too many novelizations of that particular crossover, or at least those toys, those toys coming together. You could find, I'm sure, a buttload of fan fiction on it. But if you want to pick up a comic book completely illustrated by a major publishing company, IDW, check out the 5-issue Revolution series where your heroes and villains came together of Transformers, G.I. Joe, Action Man, ROM Space Knight, and Micronauts. Those toy properties together. They spun a tale of, boy, I wish I could tell you that we did a great job of telling you what happens at the end of that tale, but I would be lying. All right. However, if you want to hear our reaction to that 5-part story from IDW, check us out here. There is a Source Material completely devoted to that, where me, Ronnie, and Mark Radulich and the Invisible One himself, Justin Thomas, and special guest Cole Marantet, who gets on here every once in a while. Last time we had him on, we were talking Watchmen, I believe. And then, of course, we discussed that great story, Terminator RoboCop. Oh, yeah, that's right. RoboCop versus Terminator. That's my favorite one that Cole's been on so far, because it's just, you could tell he just does not want to be on that. No, he enjoyed it. He had a good time. But also, just like Ronnie said, we did a commentary. Now, the way it dropped on the network was a little strange. So if you listen to IDW's Revolution first, I would advise that, and then maybe listen to the audio commentary that we did for the Transformers 86 animated movie, where me, Ronnie, Justin, and Mark got together and discussed that as well. Because I talk about how I didn't watch the movie in the IDW or in the Source Material episode, and then in the commentary episode, actually, I clearly got to watch the movie. But it dropped on the network backwards. So on the network, you get to hear me do the commentary, and then the very next day, you get to hear me tell you about how I didn't watch the movie. Okay. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But so
you're
spinning
the flies, Starcher.
Tuesday, I wasn't part of Damn You Hollywood. But hey, you know, check that out. Just like Ronnie mentioned, check those boys out. They did a great job talking about that movie. Then we have the Metal Hammer of Doom coverage of the 86 soundtrack to Transformers the movie. Oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe what we learned in there, Ronnie. Did you know that Spectre General, the guys that do my favorite song off of there, which is Nothing's Gonna Stand in Our Way, They're actually known as a band by the name of Kick-Axe, but they changed their name. Yeah, they changed their name to be on that podcast. That's right. We had them as special guests. Went back in time. No, they changed their name.
We wish.
In order to be on that soundtrack because of Yeah, exactly.
Archer.
You got to do it. Check that out. And then, I don't even know what happened. It was Thursday last night. That was supposed to be TV party night.
Yeah,
that's been
Thursday.
Rescheduled for Saturday, right?
Tomorrow night, yes.
Okay, all right. So check that out. I think that's it. Coming up on Source Material. Boy, Ronnie Adams, are you ready?
Yeah,
are you wascally wabbit?
Oh, no, I'm not ready. God,
oh,
no.
My goodness. Looney Tunes and DC comic book characters, your beloved Superman, your beloved Batman, are crossing over with the likes of Elmer Fudd, Lobo, Bugs Bunny. That's right. DC and Looney Tunes crossovers are going to be happening this coming Monday live as me, Ronnie Adams, Mark Radulich, this is just going to be so much fun. We get to try and persuade, or at least try to make Josh Calandros interested in maybe picking up one of those books. That is the goal. Josh Calandros sits atop his judging bench, as he does with many a comic book property, and looks down and turns his nose up. Well, he has to listen to us try and persuade him to figure out which one of these DC Looney Tunes comic books that he wants to pick up. So check that out. That's coming up Monday live, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I still got to read. Dude, do you understand that in my comic book, have you read Lobo Roadrunner?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I get to tell you, because nobody else is on this podcast other than me and you right now, and I sincerely doubt Josh Calandros is running out just to figure out what we talked about with Transformers tonight. But do you know you never know. But did you know that the Looney Tunes were created in a lab in 1940, right after the Roswell landing? Yes, I'm telling you that right now. That is coming from my book. That happens in Lobo. We get an origin to the Looney Tunes. Yes, sir. Some stupid DC continuity. Explaining why Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner were created in a lab and have been warring. Sir, they have been warring since 1940 all the way up to present day.
I
cannot wait. No, you're going to be part of it. And I have to, dude, how well do you think that's going to go with Josh Calandros? Yeah, hey, Josh Calandros, Looney Tunes? Yeah, I got your origin right here. Here, let me tell you how it happens. He's going to crack. That is bottom of the barrel right now. I can tell you, Roadrunner Lobo is going to the bottom. So, as a matter of fact, I will tell him the origin, and then he'll be like case dismissed, or he'll be, you know, we won't even go into more because he'll be so upset. Go ahead.
I haven't heard him, you know, haven't heard a grown man weep openly in a while, so.
Other than yourself, when we destroyed Wacky Raceland and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
All right, I'm about done with plugs. You can follow me at Stiznarky on Twitter, at SourceMacCast. You can follow the Source Material Twitter if you do so wish. Go check out the Radulich and Broadcasting Network Facebook page to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. MMA, wrestling, comic books, movies. Oh, my goodness, we got it all. So we're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Spreaker.com. And there's always one other one that I forget. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio.
TuneIn Radio.
Just search Radulich, folks. RADULICH. You're going to find something. Transformers Week coming to a close tomorrow. I'm glad to be on this podcast with you, Ronnie Adams. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. Sir.
Always, brother. Always. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Screaming Boy Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Screamboy PR. You can find us on Instagram, Screamboy Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, amongst all these other great shows. Right now, we are exclusively on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network. We will be back in iTunes and everywhere else soon, hopefully. So we've got some catching up to do on that. We've got several live shows that we've done here that have been really good. So go back in the archives, check those out. Check out Source Material. Check out Metal Hammer of Doom. Check out Damn You Hollywood. All these others that have gone on, that have come before. We've did the Wonder Woman kind of Wonder Woman week. All kinds of some great stuff in there. So check those out. Just like Jesse said, search Radulich. You'll find it. It is definitely worth your while. So we thank you so much for listening. And with that, we're going to say, Autobots, roll out.
You got the touch. You got the power.